بسم الله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم ألهمنا مراشد أمورنا وأعذنا من شرور أنفسنا. The crux of this lecture, talk, whatever you want to call it, will be exactly as he mentioned, that attachment. To be able to understand where we are attached already, and to now start feeling that attachment, and the demand of that attachment then will manage to push us forward. When I graduated, we had a chance to go to Pakistan. So in the madrasa where we stayed for a while, there was qurbani taking place. They had got some people from the mountains. These people were masters with animals. So normally qurbani time, to see a person taking a cow down, especially in South Africa, we feel that the people die before the cow. It's like a lot of fun, and then one cow and 50 people on top of it, and the poor cow, he still carries on. But there to see like 50 cows going down with 3 people. So it was something, I don't think everyone could do it, but these people of the mountains, they had that strength. So 2 people's job was to take the cow down. So the one person just grabs the tail, and he just turns the tail, and the other one grabs the horn, and he just flips. So no rope. And the entire animal goes up, and it turns, and it falls. As soon as it falls, the third person just moves in, and with one hand, he just cuts, and all 3 back. And like in a 2 or 1 minute or half a minute, you would just see the one bang up, bang down, slice, and one animal was done. So now to see that there, so 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, after 10 animals, now you have 10 cows lying there. Then they decided to now start skinning. So then it took us a while, you went to go have breakfast. Now they finished skinning, now when we came out, now round 2 now starts. And again, another 10 animals. Just up, down, cut. Up, down, cut. It's like chickens, this was. How fast they were doing it. But then there was one cow. Bulls were being taken up and down. Bulls. And none of them were covered. There was no ropes. And everyone was so unique. But one cow. The man pulled the tail, the other man pulled the head, and the cow never moved. It just kept its head. And then again they tried. He pulled the head, and the thing just stood. The head has to turn, and then only it will fly in. The thing just stood. Never leave. And then we saw, the first time we saw this man, like putting up his sleeves now to say, now something to get. And you could see that muscle that he had. So then he told the other person that you go one side, and he took it. And he turned, and the animal turned. It's like driving a car now. Again he tried, and again the animal tried. So it was hard, and finally they got that animal down. When they got that animal down and they slaughtered, I was paying attention on that cow. That from 50 cows or 50 bulls and cows, only one was able to hold back. And so long it held. That animal was pregnant. There was a baby in that animal. When they cut that one, that baby even came out. That baby was alive still. And there's a law, then quickly you must cut that if you want to make that halal. But when that baby came out, it hit so much that that animal, different from all the other animals, it was fighting for something else. Because it knew what it got inside, that became more valuable than its own life. Where other, every other animal, when they felt the pain on the tail, that's why they twist the tail. So as soon as the tail was twisted, the mind immediately said, ah, and it forgot the whole body. And then easily he was able to shake the head. But this mother, when they hit the tail also, that pain was not going to its mind. For her, the baby inside was more important than her pain also. In the animal world, you will see it many a time. When that baby buffalo is taken by the lion, amazing the buffaloes, all of them, if Allah had given the buffaloes aqal, when those lions come, if the buffaloes just stand and say, what can you do? No lion would ever catch any buffalo. But Allah made it such, when the lion just jumps out, all the buffaloes run. All. If they stood, the lions would never get them. But sometimes you will see they'll grab the baby. And when the baby will cry, that mother will turn. When she turns, she forgets that fear which made her run. Otherwise, she was the first one running. Now when that mother turns, she sees that she is alone. There's no other buffalo with her. They're all gone. And she sees 7, 8 lions. But then you see that mother coming back. At that moment, she forgets her own life also, because that's my baby. If me and you can learn that we have something within us, the only problem is that we forgot what we have, so that attachment was broken. This what we got within us, it's called the light of Iman. This is our baby. And if this baby is allowed to come out in the world and shine, it will give us our Jannah. But the first effort of the devil was that this light which is within, we had to become oblivious to the light. Umar radiallahu anhu one day spoke about, he said that we were the people who saw darkness. They saw darkness. During the days of darkness, character was on the lowest level. Eating, you could eat anything and everything. It was called total freedom. But there is one thing that a man who lives in darkness, and then a day comes where he's introduced to light, he really enjoys that light. So they spoke about their own life when they were in darkness. And then Umar radiallahu anhu said, who do you think is more lucky? The one who was once upon a time in darkness and then Allah gave him the light of Iman. Or the other one who grew up as a believer. So the normal answer is me and you, like, we never saw kufr. We grew up with Iman. That was the answer given. Umar radiallahu anhu said, that's supposed to be the answer. He said, but I fear the time will come where people will grow up with Iman. But because you start from day one with the light, a time comes where we start taking the light for granted. And that attachment is lost. And that individual starts thinking, I wonder how it is to live in darkness. Because of that attachment not being there, I have met people who found Iman and Islam after years of darkness. That person, when he talks, he's so happy, I found the light. And me and you, because we never saw darkness. So when we grew up with it, a time came where we forgot we're carrying something. It became normal. And then the mind started looking around that, why I'm here, like, in this world? But those people who were given. So I'm going to take you through a rundown of an individual who saw this light. When he became attached to the light, how he was able to sacrifice anything and everything. But everything for him was this light that Allah has given me now. I have to take it till the ending. Whether it was his mother, whether it was his wealth, whether it was his entertainment, whether it was his clothing, whether it was his body, finally, whether it was his life. In front of this light, nothing mattered anymore. As long as I can carry on day by day moving with this light. When this light will become valuable, even if that mother cow has to be told, can we kill you so the baby will survive? She'll say, kill me, let my baby survive. When this light will become valuable, even death will be a thrill for the person, as long as he knows I took this Iman to Allah. Once we get it to our Allah, and that's what is called, the match is on. Every other match is a 1 hour. When that whistle blows and you start, you can be offside, you can be scoring the goal, you can be the cheerleader, you can be sitting on the side, you can be selling sausages and hot dogs. But you all know after 1 hour when the match is over, one person will kick the sand like, ah, I just missed that goal. And the other person will be like, I got it. But everyone knows, like, when you ask what you got, you will say, I got a happiness that will last me till the next match. Have you ever saw this in the world of sports? Whether you play it yourself or you watch it of somebody else, it is so much of tension because those poor soccer players, cricket players, rugby players, I feel them sorry sometimes. When they win the match, there's no enjoyment. You might think they're so happy. They're not so happy.
Because they know 3 days later is another match. And if they lose that one, all the enjoyment of this one is gone one shot. This man can play the whole season well. Last match, which means the most, he took them to the final. He took his team right to the final. But in the final, instead of kicking the ball away, he kicked it towards his own goalposts. And then the other person came and scored the goal. He made a mistake right at the ending. At the end of that match, you'll never hear his people will say, he brought us to the finals. Allow him to make the mistake. Rather, they'll say, kick him out, kick him out, kick him out. You say, poor man, you do so much for your people, and right at the ending, they kick you in the back. There were those players who missed that goal, that penalty. Because there's a lot of gambling in soccer. He missed the penalty, they told one person to kill him. I don't know whether he was killed, most likely he was killed. They sent the assassin for him just because he never scored that goal. I think of that poor man. Now forget that soccer player, the man watching. Whether it's cricket, soccer, rugby, whatever it is. You have your popcorn and you say, watch the match, watch the match. You're telling your wife, you just got married, she can't understand what's carrying on. Like, what's so important about it? You say, this one's name is, this one's name. Hey, he's coming out. The wife looks at it one time. Same guy coming, he blows, that one bats, other one jumps, run, run, run. She looks at your wife, she says, I'd rather go bake some biscuits. She can't understand, but the man who's gripped, for him, he'll even eat biscuits while watching it. But if you tell him, come to the kitchen and have nice hot chocolate and biscuit, he can't. He's worried about, is the guy out? Is the guy out? Did he get the 4 runs? Whole time, you look at him and you say, okay, let's say they win this match. Will you finally be happy you won? He'll say, no, no, the next match is 2 days after. And again, he'll carry on. One person, I said to him, you watch so much of sports, I want you to do one thing. If you ever got a doctor with you, a heart doctor, tell him to put a machine by your heart while the match is on. Because there's so much of tension for the 3 hours, 4 hours, 5 hours. The way your heart is pumping is not a normal pump. Now, after that match is over, whether you're happy or you're sad, you know the game is not over. But there is one match me and you are playing. This match, when it's over, it's over. On that ending, if we manage to bring this iman to Allah and the devil says, no, like, he lost. As soon as that angel takes that iman, the angel says, you made it. First sentence will be said to him, after today you will never have tension again. It will be said, now enter into a paradise where it's only happiness after happiness after happiness. Maybe they also we could play soccer and cricket one day in Jannah. But in that world there will be no tension. Both people will win. I wonder how it will happen. Both will be winners. Both will be bosses. Jannah is Jannah. But that match, to remember that we're playing this match and this ball of iman has to get to that goalpost. That is our match. When that angel will blow the whistle and say, game over. At that time, there'll be many people who will say, I wish I scored the goal. But it will only be that one who scored it already who won. The remaining will always say, I wish, give me a chance again. So I will speak to you about a person who reached that age where it is called the age of entertainment. It is called the age where a person starts making money. A boy, as he grows up, when your age reaches about 15, 16, 17, then your only interest is in the girl. That boy also, even if he plays soccer, cricket, rugby, whatever he plays, you will notice he will play more better if he sees that girl is watching. So before he runs, he'll look on the stands, hey, she's not here today. Suddenly he'll just be sad now. Now he won't run with that. As he's tired, he'll notice someone is sitting there. She got a burqa maybe. She got a niqab also, but a boy can pick up a girl even through niqab. How he does it, Allah knows, but... So he says, she's there. Suddenly you see life come back in him. Why? He's like that cow with that baby. He got an attachment to her. Suddenly life came back. Now the man tries to turn the head this way. He put it back away. Because now he's playing the game for someone. Now he'll start running. Now he wants to score. Now he'll be doing so much. They'll say, what happened to you? Like, you took Prime. You took Red Bull. He said, no, she came. That age, when you reach the age 17, 18, you're attached. As you will come past that age, then normally a boy gets married. Once you get married, that same wife of yours can come and sit in the stand. Forget in the stand. That wife of yours in the kitchen, if she tells you, come help me to make tea, you say, I'm too tired. She said, but once upon a time when you were half dead on the soccer field, as soon as I entered, you became like Superman. What happened to you now? He said, now I know you. Like, that time I never know you. Now that boy is in the bed. He said, come help me in the kitchen. He said, yeah, I can't, man. She said, can't. So at that age, now what's the attachment? Now the attachment is wealth. Now that girl story will go. Now it is wealth. To be able to be rich, more rich, more greater, more better than that one. If he's going for a holiday, why can't I go? If he took out a new car, why can't I get a better car? How you will understand that attachment? That man will say, I got heavy fever. Last night I never sleep well. Fajr time he says, today I think it's cold. Even the doctor will say, you read namaz at home. But that same person, he will notice at 7:30, his fever will disappear. His wife will tell him, today don't open. He'll say, how can I know? Who's going to open? You're going to open. Suddenly the fever is gone. Why? He's attached. If this thing doesn't open today, what my heart is attached to, I'm going to lose. With that fever, he will go to shop. He'll carry on. He'll drink something hot. He'll carry on. 5 o'clock is the ending. I must just get to 5 o'clock. Once he reaches 5 o'clock, he comes home. He says, what fever I got. And back again now. In between, if there's any salah, because that attachment is not so much, sir, but it is to wealth, attachment. When that age comes, then now his child starts growing in front of him. Now an attachment comes to your own children. When that attachment comes to a child, you will see this person at night. If his wife had to say, I got a headache, you'll get Panado from me. He'll tell her that you were in the kitchen a few minutes ago, you couldn't get your Panado. But if his child has to cry, he'll go and look for a doctor late at night running around. Because now he's attached to the child. That attachment. And that will carry on as the child grows. Whatever the child needs, the child goes in the shop, the child looks up. Normally in the shops I notice, whatever you need is down. But whatever, if a fridge, on top of the fridge they got a toy also. So I walked in a shop, I'm wondering, like on top of the fridge they got that bicycle. Because the child, when he walks in with the father, he looks up. So the father is taking milk and he says, so expensive milk is, the child is looking, daddy, what about that bicycle? That bicycle is 10 times more than the milk. But the father will complain about the milk, he won't complain of the bicycle. You'll make him happy, like when he brings that bicycle down. When he sees the child, he won't even say how much it cost, why he was attached. As he sees his child growing up, he'll spend thousands on the child. On the education, there's an attachment. And a time comes where that child also grows up and he starts getting married. When that child gets married, something new comes in the house. It's called a grandchild. Now there's a new attachment. This heart can attach to anything. That grandchild, if the heart attaches, you will see that uncle, as he got older, he became grumpy. He became grumpy with his wife. If she came and sat on his bed, or he sat on her bed, as they reach a certain age, grumpiness sets in. You will see some of these old aunties in the house. They'll make their bed and after say, everyone out. But if the grandchild comes, that grandchild will come with dirty hands and put it on the wall. A time came after my child grew up, I couldn't. So when a person brings his child and says, carry the child, I'll bring the child for 1-2 seconds and say, take it back. Because once that one vomit comes out, for me, I can't manage. But granny, she'll allow the thing to go on her faceless. Because her heart is now attached. No one must mess her house. The maid, if she dares touch anything in the house, she'll fire that maid. But the grandchild attachment. This heart, as it attaches to whatever it attaches, it will learn to sacrifice for that, and it will be happy in that sacrifice. If me and you can reach a stage, this sahabi who I will go through now his life, at the age of about 30, he was blessed with the light of iman. And when it settled in his heart and it attached, everything that was once upon a time important to him just fell. And as Allah Tabaruk Ta'ala took him through stages, and he had to sacrifice and he had to smile in the face of that sacrifice, until he reaches the age of 40 and he passes away. On his passing away, he says what he had to carry, how he carried it. The Sahabi's name is Mus'ab. Mus'ab ibn Umayr radiallahu anhu was famous for the people of Medina Munawwara. Because 1 year before Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came, he came. So they would call him our first teacher. The first person in the ummah who read a Jummah salah was this person, Mus'ab ibn Umayr. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wrote to him in Medina Munawwara, "You there, I am in Makkah, I can't." Gather the people at the time of Zuhr, wait for the people, and then speak a little bit and then make a Jummah. He made the first Jummah in Islam. This boy, Mus'ab ibn Umayr, was so unique in Islam, because there are some people who you say you grow up in difficulty. A person whose father was a farmer, and he himself had to go out. Recently we went to Macedonia. So in Macedonia you have farms, not like South Africa. If you got farms, you got workers in the farm, you the worker. So this boy is the boy, his father is the owner of the farm, he has to be the shepherd. He's telling me the hardest thing for the shepherd is, a cow likes to eat from a certain place. But if it eats too much from that place, the cow will die. So while you're sitting as the shepherd, you have to see where your cows are. And which one is eating too much? He said, that itself is mental torture. He said, but the worst is when that one cow runs away. One cow. He says, you can't take the other cows back home. Your father will whack you so much, you rather stay at night looking for that cow. So he says, that cow went. And now walking, walking, walking. Every time you see the cow, as you walk little bit, the cow just walks again. And then you come again and the cow walks a whole night. Then you forget everything. So much of sacrifice people have to make. That person who grows up in difficulty, his legs become hard. So if he has to walk on the ground, nothing will happen. See, I grew up. But you got me and you, we never walked. Now if our leg has to be told, now you got no shoe, but walk from here now for 100 miles. And now you see blood coming out. Now you understand that this person is going through pain. Mus'ab ibn Umayr radiallahu anhu was like this. Until that age of about 30, he was so pampered by his mother. His mother was one of the wealthiest women of Makkah Mukarramah. He was so pampered by her. His shoes would come from one part of the world. Hadramaut is what we might say, like going towards the Turkish lands. His garments would come from another part of the world. His mother loved him so much, at night when he would go to sleep, she would bring one bowl, like what we call a cereal. So at night, if my Mus'ab has to wake up, he'll see the cereal is next to him. She had workers in her house, but she would not let them do for him, she had to do for him. She was like over the moon about her Mus'ab, everything Mus'ab. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself said, I never saw in Makkah Mukarrama someone who had more beautiful hair. Because at that age you worry about my zulfa, my hair, my style, how it looks. He says, the hair of this boy. And then he said, I never smelled someone's atar which was more valuable than his atar. He was the atar of the people of Makkah Mukarrama. He had his own walk. The people looked at him at that age of 30. His mother spent everything on him. He had other brothers, but she did not give them what she was giving him. And while he's living in this life, no one comes to dare give dawah to Mus'ab. Because he's enjoying life at such a stage, you'll think, where am I going to go to the millionaire? But amazing it is, that sometimes where we and you look at the life of the millionaire and billionaire, you might see them on your profiles, on your Facebook, on your WhatsApp. You might see how much that man is earning, how much that woman is earning. You might say they got the life. But if ever you got a chance to go close to that person and start speaking, you will see that he doesn't want you to leave after that. You will see he's like crying in loneliness. You will tell him you got tigers as your pets. You'll enter that house, you'll see lions this size, you'll see tigers this size. He got all of that there. Why? Looking for something which he hasn't got. And the day you come and you enter with your champers, I went to one house, that lion wanted to come and lick my feet. So one issue is that, number one, if that lion licks, that saliva of the lion is not so clean, number one. So we want to pull our leg back, that lion wants to lick. I'm thinking, I'm sitting in this house, I haven't even got socks on. This man, his lion's got better clothing than me. He got the world, but why is this man desirous of a friend? Because he's missing something which the world can't get. You might look at the millionaires and billionaires in the world, especially those without iman. And sometimes you might say how lucky they are going their life. And you will see they take tablets at night just to go sleep. Their days and their nights go in this. And a person with iman, if you can just understand this attachment. Mus'ab ibn Umair at the age of 30 got it. So for a while he hides away from his mother, especially his mother. But then there were spies in Makkah Mukarramah. One of the spies saw him making sajda. So he says to his mother. His mother goes mad. She runs out of the house. The woman of that time would wear scarf. She pulls out a scarf. She says, I will never put on a scarf. Then she says, I will never take a morsel of food. Then she says, I'm not going to drink water. Then she says, I'm not going to ever use the shade of the tree. She says, I'm going to kill myself unless you leave what you are on at the moment. And now she runs out and she takes out a scarf and she stands in the hot sun. And as she's standing there, it's getting, and her sons are telling, Mommy, come home. Mommy, come in the house. People are looking at you and she's just making a scene. So they're speaking to Mus'ab and say, don't do this to your mother. Now how much his mother had done for him, you know how hard it was. He said this was mental torture he had to go through for a couple of years. So the one son finally says to the mother, I promise you, 3 days don't give him food. And he'll forget all this Islam story, come home. So for 3 days the mother comes home, but Mus'ab is not going to forget. They take away all his luxuries. In today's time you'll say the credit card is gone. His luxuries were taken away so much that because he was a little plump, spoiled his plump, they were not giving him food for days. Later on, when Sahaba radiallahu anhu would see Mus'ab ibn Umair, when they went into the valley of Abu Talib, they said, we now saw Mus'ab because he left the house. He said, because he was chubby once upon a time and now he had no food. That little fat, when you lose that fat now, it just hangs now. He said, we saw it hanging. That clothing of his which he used to wear before, he got no new clothing now. His mother would get clothing from Yemen, now she was not giving him clothing from Makkah. He was wearing the old clothing, so he had to lift it up like. Because that clothing wants to fall over, there was no stomach in him. He said, but we saw this boy at the age of 33, 34, he couldn't walk in him. Because he grew up in luxury, now everything was taken away, his body was not strong. He said, as we saw him, then someone came and gave him a stick. At the age of 33, he needed a stick just to move. He said, someone actually had to 1-2 times carry him, the boy was just falling. He said, we would see his leg bleeding, but because he was attached to this Islam, he just had to go back to his mother and say, Mommy, I'm sorry, and everything would come back. But he had learnt one attachment, he had become like that mother cow understanding, I got a baby within me. No matter what's going to happen to my body, I'm not going to give. So he remains like this. His mother stands in the sun. Every day she's in the sun. She doesn't allow anyone to bring her home. He has to see his mother, it hurts him. His wealth is taken away. His body starts becoming smaller, the color of his face changes. He becomes, they say, like a baby, like a bird which is like almost dead. He goes through mental torture because of his mother. He goes through financial torture because he enjoyed so much of wealth, everything taken away. He goes through physical torture. These are the only 3 tortures in life you're going to go through. Mental, that someone who's very close to you is one day going to say no. For the young boys, you will go through this stage in life where you will think of getting married. That time someone becomes very valuable, especially when you go to see her. And you come home and you say, Mommy, she's the right one. But when she then says, I'm making istikhara and I'm not getting the right answer, you will then see when a girl has to say to you, no. It's like someone took a knife and put it in your stomach, in your heart. Now your mother gives you samosas, you don't want to see that samosa, you're just looking angry. Then why she said no? Why she said no? Ask a girl who a boy said no to. She doesn't want to go outside, she doesn't want to look in the mirror. That's one. Then you can go through another mental torture, that you do get the girl you want, you get married, you're spending some time together, then you are going, Allah save all, but there's an accident. And suddenly that person who you were so close to is just taken away from you. Mental torture. A child sees his parents pass away in front of him. The parents see the child, mental torture. The one who is beloved is snatched away. That individual goes full in depression. But this Mus'ab sees his mother. His mother going through that punishment in front of him. Every day he has to look at it, mental torture. A second depression the world will go through and they go through is what is called financial torture. That your father got a good job and suddenly he loses his job. You got a fantastic amount of income coming, suddenly it's taken away. You were going for Umrah and Hajj every year, now you can't even go out of the town. Everything was coming, it's gone. That financial torture. And the third is physical torture. Physical torture either. A person to stay on his deen is captured. Allah save us all. We don't know what the future is going to be. But in those countries which we had around, like Iraq, like Syria, like Afghanistan, people were taken in our eras. They were taken into jails. They were tortured. We had the chance of meeting one alim. They pulled out his fingernails. They would pull out his nails just for him to pull away and to give the names of other people who were with him. One thing he mentioned, he wrote in a kitab after that. He said, I had always read in the past that a time comes where Allah Tabarakallah puts his servant in such a condition that even if a knife has to be going through the body of the person, he doesn't feel that pain. He said, I had read it. He says, but the day came when they pulled my fingernails out and Allah put such a condition over me, I was able to manage that pain also. I was able to, as though that pain went away. He said, I used to read it in the past. People went into those jails. People were told, leave it. Physical torture. Whatever torture has to happen in the world, think of this boy. He went through it, but he was attached. If me and you can find this attachment, as we will go further in life, our attachment with our families, with our mothers, our fathers, our brothers, our children, when the decision of Allah comes for someone to pass away and that person is lifted, you will see a believer who has an attachment with Allah. At that moment, the believer is able to remain composed. The believer cries also and is able to talk. A person who hasn't got an attachment, at that moment, you see, he goes wild. You see, he wants to jump in the grave with the dead person. He says, I don't want to come out. I don't want to talk. I don't want to eat. But if that attachment gets created with Allah, you will manage. We have seen people who lost a little bit wealth, not lot wealth, little bit. Little from the lot was taken away. A person had 5 houses, the tax man, SARS caught up with him. They were going to take 1 house, only 1 house away, 4 was going to remain. We saw that person, he sat on a table. There was a plate there, there was chicken, there was biryani, there was mutton. Everyone was enjoying, he couldn't eat anything at all. He's just looking at his plate. Little bit of his wealth was taken, his attachment was not. Here you will find a boy, his entire life is taken away. Living in the highest of high, the Sahabi radiallahu anhu says, the time came when Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us, you all are going to Abyssinia. If you can somehow or the other take Mus'ab with you. His life is like a punishment in Makkah Mukarramah. The news is sent to Mus'ab ibn Umair, we're leaving at this time. If you can get out of the house, you can come with us. Mus'ab ibn Umair, one of the hardest things for him is when he reaches them, he has to say to them that, you know, I'm coming with you, but I do not even have 1 dirham to be able to put in this jamaat. He said, I got nothing. He said, in that jamaat, we had 15 dinars, 15 gold coins. Mus'ab ibn Umair came, he did not even have 1 dirham. For him it was so hard, like I'm the poorest of this Jamaat, but he was the wealthiest a few years ago. He says, on their journey we noticed with his thin champal, as he's walking, and we're trying to reach where the waters are, they were going to go over to Ethiopia, Abyssinia, Habsha. He says, we noticed blood coming from his heels. This boy had never walked on the ground. Never. He says, there was a person in the Jamaat, Amir bin Rabia. He said, we saw him looking after Mus'ab more than he looked after his own family. Like, he took out his shoes and he said, you know, I'll walk barefoot. You wear my shoes, please. I can't see this blood coming from you. He said, the boy couldn't walk. He was already about 36, 37 at that time. But because he was pampered so much, they saw Mus'ab like this. Mus'ab ibn Umair, in this manner he reaches. It's only when he reaches Abyssinia, Ethiopia, that he gets the time now. His mother is far now. He doesn't have to see his mother every day. And now food is brought for him. He starts picking up weight again. Strength comes back in his body. As when the Jamaat returns to Makkah Mukarramah the first time, he goes back, but now he's a little stronger. As soon as he comes back, they say, hey, you got life in you. Like, at that moment, a few times pass, and then there's a Jamaat from Medina Munawwara. They come and say to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that if you can send someone to teach us, and he can come to Medina and change the entire environment. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam looks at Mus'ab, and he says, you are the boy for this. He would look at Mus'ab and he would laugh sometimes. Sometimes he would cry. Sometimes Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam would say, Alhamdulillah, bitaqallubi dunya ala ahliha. I praise Allah how the world can change on an individual. He says, I saw Mus'ab at that time when he had the best hair, the best clothing. He says, and I see him now when Allah, nawwar Allah qalba, Allah put light in his heart. He says, this boy now is not worried whether he's wearing torn, he's wearing tattered, he's wearing nothing at all. He would come in now and he would have the sheepskin. The sheepskin was now his clothing. He would just put one pin on it and that was his jacket. That was his only clothing. Mus'ab ibn Umair says, I'm ready to go. He goes 1 year to Medina Munawwara all alone. But look at this individual, when something was dear to him, Iman. He goes one person to Medina Munawwara. The Arabs hear that someone has come. One party immediately says to the person, I want you to go and assassinate him. Kill him, get rid of him. What is doing here? One person alone. Mus'ab ibn Umair is told, someone is coming. He's the leader of the military. How are you going to stand? Mus'ab ibn Umair says, you must just get it that he can listen to me. That's all. The person comes. He has his spear. He says, what are you doing? Get out of here. He says, I will be ready to go. I just want you to listen to one sentence of mine. The person says, one sentence. He says, one, then I'll go if you're not happy. He says, what you got to say? He reads Quran. But this person's Quran was not like mine and your Quran. His Quran was coming out of someone who had an attachment to his Quran. As he read Quran, that person in front of him just looked at him stunned. And he said, what must I do? He said, go and take a wudu, wash yourself and come read Kalima. Then the person says to him, you know, there's one leader of ours. If that leader has to accept, say, go bring the leader. Go bring the leader. When that leader is coming out, they're going to bring the leader. The person goes back, the leader says, what happened? He says, no, that boy, that Mus'ab, he's gone. But you know, your friend, your cousin in the town, and I went there, I heard the other people want to kill your cousin. So they kill my cousin. Immediately he stands up. They had a lot of tribal like relation. He comes immediately. As he's coming, he sees his cousin relaxing like. Then he understood they tricked him. Then he sees Mus'ab. He said, why have you come here? Mus'ab ibn Umair says, listen to one kalam. If you don't like it, I'm going. Again, his Quran came out from where? I want you to think about, many of you are hafiz of Quran. I want you to think about, he read Quran and the individual in front of him melted. When me and you read Quran, do we melt? Or is it just we read and I got tired and let's carry on life? If we're not melting, it means we're not attached. Make an intention, Allah, allow me to attach myself. I want to feel this light of Iman. 1 year later, Mus'ab ibn Umair comes back to Makkah Mukarramah. He says to Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there's not a house in Medina except that La ilaha illallah is being said. He changed everyone.
He said, the people are waiting for you now, come now. The whole Medina changes on one man. Between the age of 30 and 40, Allah gave him 10 years. In this 10 years, he was able to do miracles. But because he attached. When he reaches Makkah Mukarramah, his mother gets the news. She sends a message to him, "Ark, you disobedient child." He goes to visit his mother. Now his age is about 39. His mother is still in love with him. His mother says, "I cried when you went to Abyssinia. I cried when you went to Medina. You don't appreciate my crying." He says to his mother, "I come to give you dawah to la ilaha illallah." His mother says, "If I have to read this kalima, the people of Makkah will say to me that all along you never saw the light. Now you saw it." She said, "It will be a disgrace on me." She said, "My son, I can't do that." She says, "You stay with me." He says, "My mother, you try to keep me here. I'll kill everyone who comes in front. And even if it's you, I will kill you." And beyond that time, his mother says, "Okay, you just go now." And he now goes with Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam back to Medina Munawwara. First year is the battle of Badr. Second year is the battle of Uhud. In the battle of Uhud, he has a resemblance to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Very close. One person is looking, thinks this is Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, so he makes the attack on him. He's carrying the flag, so he says, "This is the leader." He cuts his hand, he cuts his second hand, he pushes that spear through Mus'ab ibn Umair. As that flag is falling, and normally when a flag falls, it means like the army is defeated. Allah Tawarukala lets an angel in the form of Mus'ab come. An angel lifts up that flag. For a while, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in the battle is saying, "Mus'ab, go this way, Mus'ab, go this way." Until finally the angel turned. When the angel turned and Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam saw the angel, he realized Mus'ab is no longer alive. So where's Mus'ab? So after the battle, there was no need to ask who passed away. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam already knew Mus'ab is not alive. So he went walking around, "Where is this Mus'ab of mine?" Why he liked him so much is, they say that others suffered for Islam, but their bodies were strong. Mus'ab ibn Umair suffered, but his body was not strong. He grew up as a pampered child, like me and you now. But if the days of difficulty have to come, will me and you manage to stand like a Mus'ab? He attached at the right time. Allah make it in your age now that you are. Start finding this attachment. Every day think about this light that's glowing within me. They found him. He was cut. He was stabbed. He did not even have enough to cover him for his janazah, for his coffin. As Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam put him there in front, then he read this verse. This is what the crux of this bayan is. It's a unique verse of Quran. May Allah Tabaraka Ta'ala let it now hit our minds. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam read this verse on Mus'ab ibn Umair. Minal mu'mineen. رِجَالٌ صَدَقُوا مَا عَاهَدُ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ. From the believers, they are those men who made a promise to Allah and they lived up to the promise. From the believers, they are those men who made a promise to Allah and they lived up to the promise. Allah Tabaraka Ta'ala, let me and you all live up to that promise. We got that light already in us. He had to find that light. He had to sacrifice his mother for that light. He had to sacrifice his body for that light. He had to sacrifice his wealth for that light. Me and you don't have to make such a sacrifice. When Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam saw him, he asked one question. He said, "What will be your condition on that day where you will walk out in the morning wearing one cloth and in the evening you will be wearing another cloth?" That's our condition. That in the morning we got our normal clothing and in the evening we got pyjamas. We're changing. He said, "What will be your condition on that day?" Because Mus'ab ibn Umair was that. But from that day, he became that boy who was wearing a sheepskin in the morning, and he was wearing the sheepskin at night. He had nothing else. Now, in looking at him, he says, "What will be your condition when it will change again?" He says, "What will be your condition when you will walk out in the morning with one clothing, and at night you will have another, my condition and yours?" He said, "And what will be your condition when one dastar, one plate will be put in front of you, and as soon as it gets finished, you'll see another one coming in front of you?" Because now I'm seeing everyone looking at the time and saying, "When is supper?" So bayan is almost up. But when the food is given to you all, I want you all to think now. As you will see one person putting one pizza for you,
and another person taking away an empty one, and another person putting, and especially if it's a student, you're not students in a Darul Uloom. We see students, a student in a Darul Uloom is like a lion that is waiting for his meal. One day in Jamaat, I took one group of students. So the Jamaat wasn't really prepared, but one uncle saw us. So he said, no, come to my house. So he went inside, he asked his wife, what you got? So she had a pot of chicken, like. For the family it was lot, but for Darul Uloom students, that small chicken is like, the other day they were looking at a lion and that, I don't know what you call it, the water hog. So lions hunt this water hog, we call it pig. So one person said, but that's like dessert for the lions. Like when they eat it, don't get full. For students, the pot was like dessert. I saw that uncle going in the kitchen and he brought one pot. Some chicken, nice chicken it was. As soon as he put it down, he went to go bring the roti. When he brought the roti, the thing was finished. He took that bichara pot, that thing, and he went. When he came back, the roti was finished. I don't know how they eat roti without chicken. As they pushed it back. The uncle came back second time. Second time I saw on his face, he was getting concerned because his wife said, don't come back again. I told uncle, you know, these are Darul Uloom students, bring the tea. When the tea comes, they realize match over now. There's nothing more. When the day comes, up, down, he says, what will be your condition? One plate up, one place down. He said, and what will be your condition on that day? Where today how the Kaaba got a ghilaf, a covering. A day will come where your houses will have coverings. Meaning our curtains, walk in your bedrooms. Look at the curtain, it's like the ghilaf of the Kaaba. From the top of the roof, right till the bottom, the window is smart. Our houses got the coverings like the Kaaba. We got the pyjamas at night, clothing in the morning. We got the plates going up and down, our condition. He said, what will be your condition on that day? The Sahabi radiallahu anhu heard it. He said, Allah, on that day it will be a top condition. نَتَفَرَّغْ لِلْعِبَادَةِ وَنُؤْفَى الْمَؤُونَ. We won't have to work even. Others will be working for us in the fields. So we can become farigh to worship Allah. Nabi Muhammad said, that will not happen. And that's what me and you are living in today. He said, بَلْ أَنْتُمْ الْيَوْمَ خَيْرٌ. He says, rather today enjoy your condition. Because when that time will come and you will say, I can worship Allah. And when you go ask now, who's worshipping Allah? You see, that individual, because he lost the attachment. This attachment is felt sometimes when you get pinched. When you go through some difficulty, you'll realize it again. Me and you don't have to ask for difficulty to remind us that we got an iman within us. If you just remind yourself, why must that day come where difficulty will have to remind us that you are a believer of Allah. So after today, what I want you to do, the next time when you see your curtains, think of this word of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, where he asked me and you, what will be your condition on that day? And that sahabi said, I'll make myself free for your worship. And then immediately ask myself, am I living up to what he said? Then when I see that plate, one up, one down coming, again ask myself, that Allah's Nabi was speaking to me, what will be your condition on the day when the plates are coming? And the answer was, I'll make myself for you, Allah. And then ask, am I? Or am I, as Nabi Muhammad said, majority will be no. They will just look for something else then. So when we will see our clothes changing twice a day, when we will see the food coming up and down, when we will see curtains in our house, at that moment think about this attachment. May Allah tabarak ta'ala allow me and you to become so attached to our iman, so attached to our iman, that if the time ever has to come where we get separated from something, but this iman is so important, we don't want to drop this. Holding on to this here, that's when you will say, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam's own son passed away in his hand. He was a child, he was waiting for, he wanted a boy so long. His first child's son passed away, his second son passed away. Years later he was blessed with Ibrahim. He wanted this Ibrahim, and Ibrahim now dies, passes away in front of him, in his hand. At that moment, because you attached to iman, what a sentence he was going to say. He says, the eye will tear, the heart will grieve, but the tongue will never say that which will make you angry, O my Allah. Now who will say that? Someone who's so worried, I'm carrying something, this mustn't fall. So even if someone hits you, you're worried, it mustn't fall. So you, but hold. Someone punches you, you say, ah, but hold. When that person was stabbed and he was going to die, then he said, Fustu wa Rabbi al-Kaaba. By the qasam of Allah, I got what I wanted. Because he's holding on to that thing. Allah tabarak ta'ala allow me and you, we have to hold on to this till the ending. If we can deliver it at that point, have this attachment with our iman, the devil from all sides is coming to just pull it away. My and yours, that I have to hold this. No matter what, I have to hold it. You will then see, salah will become more enjoyable and important in your life than anything else. You'll be on the field, you'll be playing, suddenly you'll hear the adhan. Someone will say, 5 minutes more. You will think, but what am I holding? And you will say, no way. I'm going for my salah. A time will come where someone will say, you lose business. You say, no way, I'm going to hold on to the salah. I got my deen to carry till the ending. Allah tabarak ta'ala make every one of minal mu'mineen, from amongst the believers are those rijalun sadaqu ma ahadullah alayh, men who are able to fulfill the promise they made to Allah. Allah make all of us from amongst those people.